Congress approved the Affordable Care Act more than 8 years ago, and it continues to be a political flashpoint both here in Arizona and in Washington, D.C. The current open enrollment period ends on Friday, and in advance of that, we're looking at the issue of health care in a series of conversations. And speaking of the ACA, the health care law has been loved and loathed, but is it working? To get a sense of that, I'm joined by Swapna Reddy, a clinical assistant professor with the College of Health Solutions at ASU. And Swapna, is there an easy way to describe the state of the ACA in Arizona?
I think that the state of the Affordable Care Act in Arizona is actually, the best word would be surprising. I think that we were known as kind of ground zero for everything that was going wrong with the Affordable Care Act just 2 years ago. And what we're seeing this year is actually quite the turnaround and shift for consumers and for patients.
And part of that has to do with premiums, right, in terms of them not maybe being quite so high as they have been in the past?
Absolutely. So in 2014, when our insurance marketplaces began in Arizona, we actually had very low premiums. We had lots of insurers competing for consumers. By 2016-17, we had some of the highest premiums in the United States. And, you know, in 18, what's been fascinating is we've actually had some of the flattest premium increases. So it's actually been a very flat year from an increase perspective. And then most notably, and the surprising part, is that in 2019, we're actually seeing a pretty significant reduction in premiums, almost 10% in Arizona.
How much of that reduction has to do with the fact that they were so high and maybe they're just now coming down into line with maybe where they ought to be?
So the theory by, you know, the health economists and all us really exciting people that study this all the time is that in 2014, there were all these insurers competing and the prices were actually quite low. The premiums were really low. And in most cases, they were too low. And what we had was a state that was full of people that needed comprehensive care that signed up and that use their insurance. But that ended up not being as profitable to a lot of the insurers as they expected or needed. And so they left. But I think what we're seeing right now and what it's being kind of described as is a righting of the market. So it's more in line with what it needed to be.
And are we also seeing more insurers coming back into the marketplace? I mean, as you described, there were counties where there was one or in some cases no choices for people who wanted to buy insurance on the marketplace.
Yeah, so that's another part of the surprising part of the story of Arizona is not only are we seeing a reduction in premiums for 2019, but we have two new insurers coming into Arizona and most notably Maricopa County. So I think that that not only reflects kind of a righting of the market and for premiums and for consumers, but also kind of a confidence from an insurer perspective that this is a great state to offer plans and to do business in.
What has changed? I mean, what is leading to these, you know, to this correction and to some of these surprises that you're talking about?
Well, you know, what's fascinating nationally is despite the fact that in 2016 with the national election, repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act, you know, was a major campaign slogan. And it was something that seemed to resonate with at least a significant portion of the American public. What I think has happened and what's really interesting are certain provisions of the Affordable Care Act are incredibly popular with the public. And I think that we've come to this place where we're not willing to go backwards on things like being discriminated against based on pre-existing conditions. That's really the big one, right? Things like being able to extend coverage for our adult children up to 26. I mean, these are really popular provisions. And I think despite all of the rhetoric, despite everything, we haven't seen a competing option that is providing comprehensive health care that protects us from being discriminated based on pre-existing conditions. And I think that speaks to kind of that resiliency of the Affordable Care Act and the need for that type of coverage.
With all that said, though, I mean, Congress still has sort of taken some shots at the ACA and repealed bits and pieces of it. How does that impact consumers and how does that sort of impact the marketplace more broadly, both around the country and here in Arizona?
Yeah. So to your point, you know, last summer, most famously, the Congress, there were many bills that attempted to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. But what we have seen are kind of these incremental cuts to the Affordable Care Act, right? So, you know, there is no penalty for not complying with the individual mandate based on the tax plan. We have seen, you know, we're in an enrollment period right now until December 15th. It's the shortest enrollment period in six enrollment periods, 45 days shorter. There's been a 90% budget cut in advertising and in navigators to help people enroll in the Affordable Care Act. So what we're seeing is kind of this incremental disenabling of the Affordable Care Act. And I think that at the end of the day, that's incredibly dangerous for consumers. It's dangerous for people that need comprehensive health insurance.
Is there a sense of how consumers are trying to consume all of this information about the ACA, whether or not it's actually been repealed and replaced with something, if Obamacare is still on the books, how that affects the kinds of plans that they can get?
So I think that that's part of the danger of the climate that we're in right now, which is we know that consumers need comprehensive health insurance coverage. They're demonstrating that to us themselves. What's happened, though, is because of all of the changes, there's a lot of information, misinformation, and actual lack of confidence. So what we have seen in the first 4 weeks of enrollment this time is a significant decrease from this time last year. And I think a lot of that has to do with information, education, and confidence in the law.
So you don't see that necessarily as people maybe not wanting or not needing insurance. It's other factors.
Yeah, I think people still need insurance. And I think that they need not only insurance, but they need this comprehensive health insurance. And I think we saw that in the midterms. People felt really strongly about protecting pre-existing conditions. And so fascinating that that ended up being something that both parties actually claimed to feel very strongly about protecting, right? Because that's kind of the winds that have shifted in that direction from the public's perspective. So I think people definitely need insurance. I think that it's a lack of information about what's available to them right now.
At the risk of asking you a political science question, I'm curious if you were surprised, to your point, of how much of a talking point healthcare became in so many races, especially here in Arizona with the U.S. Senate race, and what that maybe tells us about the future of the ACA and what people want out of a healthcare law, be it the ACA or something else.
Yeah, if the question is, was I surprised? I was surprised. I was not surprised that it was a major talking point in the election and in the midterms. It was apparently the most important issue for voters. Healthcare was the most important issue for voters in the 2018 midterms. What was surprising to me was the laser focus on pre-existing conditions by both parties. And I think that both parties have recognized and realized that in order to win elections, in order to present yourself as a candidate that's friendly towards the healthcare needs of the public, you cannot be okay with discriminating based on pre-existing conditions. And if nothing else, I think that's one of the kind of most significant legacies of the Affordable Care Act is a national conversation on this topic that I don't even think people thought about prior to 2010.
If I might ask you to look into your crystal ball for a moment, given what we know about the incoming Congress, the Democrats will control the House, Republicans will still control the Senate. Of course, President Trump's still in office. Do you have a sense of what the future holds for the ACA in terms of any potential changes or maybe not changes?
It's, of course, really hard to say, and my crystal ball is not that shiny, so I'm not sure.
We'll use that stipulation.
Yes. So we had to mention that. But I do think that, you know, look, with the political distribution now in the House, I think probably we won't see any major changes to the Affordable Care Act, especially in terms of a repeal or replace. And then, you know, where we're at in 2020, I think it'll be fascinating because, again, I don't think anybody would have predicted healthcare and especially pre-existing conditions to be such a driver in the midterms, and it certainly was in these House races. So I think that will only become magnified by 2020.
All right. That's Swapna Reddy, clinical assistant professor at ASU's College of Health Solutions. Swapna, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.